say?
I said the vicar to the choir boy.
Oh, we shall then. Duly accepted.
In the belfry.
Well, exactly. So, Tommy.
Yes.
Episode 36.
Episode 36, mate.
How's it going? How do you feel about it?
I feel good.
Brilliant.
You?
Yeah, great. So tell me.
We're two random guys with 940 plays, so it's pretty good.
Tell me, how have you been?
I've been missing you an awful lot.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't spoken to you for a couple of weeks. Well, where have you been?
Busy, mate.
Yeah, okay, that's what have you been, not where have you been.
Not all of us are sitting at home doing nothing, yeah?
Oh.
Oh, so...
Bit of passive aggression there. Oh.
What do you reckon, Boris Johnson to be the new Prime Minister?
Well, that is how everything seems to be panning out for him.
Just in time, though, because Trump's about to invade Iran, so...
What do you make of the tanker attack?
I don't know. It looks very suspicious that they happened to catch the placement of the bomb onto the tanker on camera at the right time and the right angle.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's nothing.
What were those guys even doing wearing the flag of Iran when they were doing it?
Yeah, I think it's a bit suspicious. I think it's a bit suspicious. Also, they kind of said, they held up a plaque, a sign, whilst they were doing it saying, we are Iranians. We will be planting a bomb. And this will be in the news tomorrow.
I think they even put it on social media, didn't they?
Yeah. All of it.
So, fine. Not a problem.
I think every US president needs a war to actually boost their popularity. Trump's about to go for the 2020 election.
Yeah.
So I think he needs this more than most people think, actually.
So if you think along those lines, how do you see those meetings going? Like, guys, what can we do to bolster, you know, ratings? How about a war? I like your thinking, Jimmy. I mean...
Who's Jimmy and how can I get his job? Because that sounds easy.
Isn't it? Hi, I'm Jimmy. I'm a war advisor. Oh, what do you do? I advise war.
Oh, brilliant.
Pretty good for business.
Yeah.
I mean, but seriously though, how do you see that going? I mean, is that a legitimate conversation? All right, it might be a bit paraphrased, might be a bit simplified, but is that the... I mean, does the president sit down and go, we need a war, who's it with?
Well, I think, look, for a country like the States... the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
War has been a huge part of their life.
It's like, almost like part of their culture.
Exactly. So I think, and if you look at it, Clinton had Bush Sr. had the Desert Storm. Clinton had, I think he had Afghanistan, did he? I don't know. Then Bush had Iraq. Then Obama had Syria. So Trump needs a war.
This is true. It's really sad. It's really sad.
There's a hilarious meme, which says, "Number of wars started by America versus number of wars started by." Iran, and America has, I'm going to say, 40 wars, starting from China in 1945. Iran has zero. So it shows you how Iran actually was attacked four times.
Iran's been attacked, invaded four times?
By USA. Not invaded, but attacked.
Really?
Yeah.
Four individual times by one country.
Yeah. 1953, 1987 to 88, which I think is Bush Sr. 1998, maybe Clinton, and 2005 to present. Countries attacked by bombing, sabotage, or attempted government overthrow. So there's also another one which says Iran versus US. Iran has never had nuclear weapons that we know of. USA has 7,200 nukes. Iran is not violating the non-proliferation treaty, which I think is the number of nukes that you can have.
Yeah.
USA violates the NPT by not disarming, by building more, and by sharing with other nations. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, basically, a lot of the time, Iran is actually on the receiving end of what appears to be unprovoked attacks.
Mm. What'd you make of that?
Oh, I mean, look. If the USA goes to war now, and given that actually what Iran has done, so recently they've downed a drone, a US military drone. Have you heard this?
Yes, I did, yes.
And Trump was very close to actually pushing the button.
Pulling the trigger. Yeah, pushing the button, yeah.
Should they have been... I mean, it sounds like they're trying to provoke Iran to do something stupid, i.e. to actually declare war. And
would they do it, though? I mean, they've surely, you know, they've seen what's happened in previous countries and whatnot.
Yeah, but I think the thing is with war nowadays is that unless you are sure that you're going to win, for example, in Syria, attacking another country with potential nuclear power is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
No one wants to do it. Everyone saw what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. I don't think anyone wants another one of those setting off. And bearing in mind that it's probably more powerful now, more accurate. You don't need to have a bomber fly above you so they can just launch it.
Mm.
I don't know. And you know, it's... The sad thing is that America, like with the war in Syria, and I think the reason why they are attacking the Middle East rather than South America's is because they're so far away from it.
Yeah.
So for them, they make a mess, but they don't have to clean it up. As we saw with Syria and Iraq, it's actually the European countries that have to clean it up afterwards.
So what is, if you can look on your statistical map there, what is the... most local war that America has started, you know, geographically?
Cuba.
Was that really a war or was that an embargo?
Well, there was the Bay of Pigs invasion. And the Bay of Pigs was a young Cuban nationalist named Fidel Castro. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
Drove his guerrilla army into Havana and overthrew General Batista. The CIA launched what its leaders believe would be, let me just open up.
Wikipedia.
In April 1961, the CIA launched what its leaders believed to be definitive strike, a full-scale invasion of Cuba by 1,400 American-trained Cubans.
That's a little bit different, though, isn't it? Because I don't think that the president has any say over what the CIA do, does he?
I'm not sure. Well, no, they did, because I think the CIA wanted to... So one of the CIA plans, what was it? Operation...
Paperclip?
No. Cuban planes into buildings. Operation Northwoods, where Kennedy was given... a plan by the CIA, which, correct me, let me hear if this sounds familiar, where they hijack a plane, the CIA hijack a plane.
Right.
Crash it into a building and blame it on Cuban terrorists.
Oh, right. No, I've not heard that one before.
So Operation Northwood was a real government plan and Kennedy dismissed it. Kennedy said that the potential for, this was 1962, the potential for Americans dying was too great. And he said it would start a war, which obviously the Soviet Union at that time would have backed, and they didn't want to start it.
Wow.
So it was literally hair width close to pulling off 9/11.
So you just wonder, if they'd have done that, would 9/11 have occurred in the way that it did?
Well, this is the massive conspiracy theory around it, in that if they thought about it in 1962,
yep,
what would stop them about doing it in 2001?
Of course.
And actually, I kind of agree that, you know, it, why wouldn't they try anything? Because they needed a reason to go into the Middle East, right? Bearing in mind that another conspiracy theory is that something like 7 of the 10 attackers, or a large proportion of the attackers, were Saudi Arabian.
Yeah.
And yet, Afghanistan was invaded, not Saudi Arabia. Also, given the fact that they said the Taliban did it, and who's the leader of the Taliban at that time?
You know it.
ODB.
That's the one, the big boy.
It's that old dirty bastard. It's Osama bin Laden.
I thought we were talking about Wu-Tang.
Yeah. But what people don't know is that Osama bin Laden was called a freedom fighter by the Times. Or Time Magazine, one of the two. So, you know, they trained him, they supplied him with the guns and ammo when he was fighting the Soviets. But as soon as he turned on them, he was considered a terrorist instead of a freedom fighter. So it's a bit like teaching your kid to start fires and then being appalled that your kid makes fires.
An arsonist, yeah.
And burns down your house. You know, it's like, well, what did you expect to happen? If you're going to train, like, they trained and supplied weapons to the rebels in Syria who wanted to overthrow Assad.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold.
Well, I think it's happened. What is it? When the cartel started getting big, so the Americans spent hundreds of millions and trained Mexicans. You know, they trained them in firearms and whatnot. As soon as they went over, they defected and became the most powerful cartel.
Yeah, weird that.
Oh, very strange.
So I don't know. I think America will have no qualms about attacking the Middle East because they don't have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Last time they tried to do it, you know, they didn't. Because I think, well, first of all, Kennedy was there, and so the CIA killed him in Texas. That's another conspiracy theory that we discussed on our previous episode.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting situation at the moment. I was reading a book, I think I told you about this, 2020 World at War.
Yes.
Or World of War. And it discusses the potential situations or scenarios why World War III may start.
Yeah.
And actually, they didn't, if I'm not mistaken, they haven't discussed Iran being invaded by USA.
Well, they've not been invaded yet because Trump pulled the plug, didn't he?
Yeah, I think what Trump's worried about is actually if he starts to aggravate things, the other nations will not be as eager to support him.
Yeah.
The UK can't because they're in their own political crisis.
Yeah.
The other nations don't have enough money. Germany has no... They have no...
desire.
Pawn in the game.
Yeah.
Neither do the French. So it's got to be NATO, but that's mostly supplied by, mostly protected by the Americans anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't think many countries would look at it kindly that he just pushed the button. You know, he's not liked as a president by other countries, so I doubt that there'll be a lot of support for him should he go to war.
Yeah.
It's not like Bush who had Blair. It's not like Obama who had Cameron.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Trump just really irritates me.
Really? Why is that?
Well, you know, he's a cunt.
Well, sure. Easy to
say. I watched
Did you see the ABC interview with him?
What, the old one?
No. There's a new one which was done recently.
Go on.
With George Stephanopoulos or something like that.
Right.
He's an ABC anchor, and he was interviewing Trump about, you know, what he's done, what he wants to do, etc. And is he going to announce his... Well, he's announced it, but, you know, is he looking to be re-elected, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
But I think in the zeal to show how much of a dick Trump is... So what they've done... They kind of shot themselves in the foot. What they've done is they... So, you know, you have... they were conducting an interview and someone coughed in the background for one of Trump's staff.
Right.
Or sneezed or something. Or, yeah, it doesn't matter. But it was loud and it was heard over on the interview. So Trump said, look, if you're going to cough, leave the room because we're conducting an interview here.
Right.
Which is fair enough, right?
Yeah.
And he said, look, do you want me to go again and we can start again? I can answer the question again. So he said, yeah, that's fine. So he did. So, you know, he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
By saying, you know, we don't want a section of the interview where someone's coughing. Let's just redo it. But instead of cutting that bit out, ABC left it in to make him look like a dick.
Right.
Which actually, it just means like Trump's going to say, well, you know, everyone that says fake media and the media is against Trump is now going to say, well, guys, there was no need to have that bit in there. The guy was looking to give you an interview without any sort of
interference.
He was polite about it. He told the guy off because he was coughing in the corner.
Yeah.
Why would you show him up like that?
Yeah, that's a dick move.
That's a hugely dick. Like, for all the wrongs that Trump did, if you're going to claim moral authority over Trump, at least be moral about conducting interviews with him.
Yeah, I think they've just done that as clickbait, haven't they?
Well, yeah, and also, like, to put Trump into a bad light, to show him as, like, this tyrannical guy who asks people to leave because they cough. It's like, well...
It's an interview at the end of the day.
Exactly, and also, if you're recording an album, someone coughs and you can hear it,
yeah,
you're not going to be like...
No, leave it in.
Oh, that's fine. Leave it in. It's fine.
Yeah. I like the ambient sounds of
Peachy
exactly. With their
it's all right.
Tickles in their throat.
It's all right. So, I don't know. I kind of... Don't get me wrong. I don't have sympathy for him for what he says, but...
No. You can sympathise with certain situations.
But exactly. That was an unnecessary move by what is left-leaning media outlet, and they shot themselves in the foot. If I was him, would I give them an interview again? No.
Probably not.
I'd tell them that they're cunts and not do it ever.
Yeah. No, I'd do it, but I'd get a guy coughing all the way through.
Yeah, so, oh, you like that, do you?
Yeah, yeah. No, we just won't take this, guys, yeah?
So I sent you a couple of videos. Did you watch them? Of course you didn't.
Well, actually, I didn't get to the crux of what I wanted to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not discuss. I wanted to tell you about a little interview that I saw with Trump when he was younger.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it? Where he's been like tele-interviewed, so there's two guys in the studio,
there's
a screen, and he's on there, and they're talking about his favourite author, and he says, oh, I like Tom Wolfe, and one of the anchors says, I think the latest book at the time, so have you read that one? And he's like, no, not yet. So what are you reading at the moment? Well, I'm actually rereading my book, because it's just terrific.
Oh, the guy,
right, okay.
The guy's a salesman.
Yeah, but then he says, but I'm also reading... Tom Wolfe's new book.
Oh.
So. And Matey Boy says,
but you
what,
just...
the title that I just told you. Yeah. Right. And it's just like, you clearly don't know. You just plucked an author. He's probably looking around the room, seen Tom Wolfe, thought, I read that.
He sounds
gonna
like
say,
a good
guy. I'm going to say that I read that, okay? Go on. The guy's a helmet. Next.
Yeah, he's a helmet.
It's going to be even better because we're going to have our very own watered-down prick.
We're going to have our own very own helmet.
What do you think, though? What do you think to
Boris? He's going to win.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked. What do you think about Boris?
I think he's actually the right guy for the job. Because he...
Look me in the eye when you say that.
No, and I'll tell you why. He was always the
advocate.
The advocate to leave.
So was Nigel Farage.
So now he can put the money where his mouth is.
The fictional money.
Well, he said that there's going to be easy to leave. So let him. I don't think he'll last more than a year, put it that way. I think the Conservatives did two things. They wanted to set him up, but also they wanted a leader that would guarantee them at least, not guarantee, but at least give them a fighting chance in the general election, which will have to be called in the next 12 months, I think.
Yes, I think it should be called now. This is the third Conservative leader we've had since Brexit was voted upon, and no one's been able to deliver it. That says substantial things to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can't agree on it. They're getting their third person in. It just proves to me that Brexit is not the way forward.
But the thing is, no one can agree on it. That's the issue, is that no one can agree on the best way to get out of this mess. You know, Farage is saying, just leave. Okay, fine, but you're not running the country, so you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, you froggy-looking cunt.
David Davis said, oh, signing deals? Oh, a bit easy, mate. Well, it took us, what, 18 months to sign one deal?
Yeah.
So I think no one can actually, you know, and people, the Parliament voted on the best way, the Parliament voted to propose and vote on the ways to leave, and none of them could get a majority rule. None of them could agree. Even the guys that voted to leave Brexit without a deal didn't vote for that.
Yeah.
They abstained. So, you know, it's kind of, it just shows the shit mess that everyone got themselves into and now realizes that it's a shit mess.
So, referendum?
It's the only way. As much as I hate it, it's the only way.
What have I been saying all along?
Well, it's the
Come
only
along
way.
Now.
It's,
what it's, have I been saying
It's the
all
only
along?
Way if they want a consensus, which I don't think Boris Johnson cares about.
So you don't think we'll get a referendum?
I don't think so.
We should, though.
And the referendum will not be the same as what we had before. It would be, what's the best way to leave?
You reckon?
Yeah.
What if one of those options was to stay?
Well, that's the same as before. Which I just said is probably not going to happen. So
probably, but not definitely.
No, nothing's definite. But I think, I think here's my issue with it. If you say to everyone, right, we're going to have a do-over. We're going to have a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're dismissing the 51% of the population, of the voting population that voted.
Yes.
And their views. You're dismissing their views.
Well, you could also look at it that you wish to hear other people's views who didn't vote.
Well, first of all, if we did that, we would do it forever. Oh, well, a year ago, I was 17, so I couldn't vote. Now I can vote. Well, tough shit, mate. You've got another 4 years.
Times change, don't they? Things happen.
Yeah, but if you open that Pandora's box, there'll be recounts and revotes on everything. Well, we don't like this leader. Let's vote again.
Yeah.
There'll always be a group of people that will be against voting. And people say, oh yeah, but you know, it was only 75% of the voting population. That's the most that's ever voted since World War II.
That's quite a large amount. 3/4 of the voting population.
You know, and they say, oh yeah, but loads of people were too young. Well, that's life.
Yep.
When I was 16, I didn't say, oh guys, can you wait 2 years before I can vote and elect a leader?
Mate, what are you talking about? I was born at 16 years old. I was voting.
It's fine.
Immediately. It's done.
And then there's people that didn't vote first time round and are seeing the shitstorm and are like, oh no, we want to vote now. Well,
yeah.
Where were you when this was 2 years ago?
Yeah. I get it.
I just don't. I think it'll be too much. I think, look, if I'm honest with you, I think take the label off the Domestos and other bleaches where it says don't drink. Wait 5 years and then take a vote.
Yeah.
That's a Ricky Gervais joke there. But it's true. I mean, look, what we have as a democracy has evolved over time. If you go back to original Greek democracy, it was only men that could vote, which is controversial nowadays, probably couldn't do it. Only the educated could vote. Landowners, which again is controversial, probably couldn't do it.
Yep.
So, but the point was that you were informed, or you were supposed to be informed as a voting individual who had a stake in the country, which is why only landowners could vote.
Mm.
And because men were the only ones really that could get education, they were the ones that voting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we should not allow women to vote yet, but but you know, it's they had a point that you can't vote on such important things such as membership of the EU without having any issue, without having any idea about what the EU does, what it means to leave, and what the effects could be.
Yeah.
And I don't think, actually, being truthful, you and I probably don't even know half of this stuff.
100%. I was literally just thinking that as you said it. I thought I probably shouldn't have voted because I know fuck all about it.
All I know is that visa-free passport, brilliant. Next.
Yeah.
I want to travel without being harassed.
Yeah.
Or having to pay.
Yep.
But you know, it's
speaking of travel.
Oh.
You said you're going on a holiday in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Cornwall.
No, you're not.
No. I'm going back to Kazakhstan.
Why?
Going back to the old country. I haven't been in 3 years. It's good to see my grandparents.
Are you going to bring me a present?
Yeah.
What are you going to bring me?
Yeah. Slice of horse meat.
Oh, I'm a vegetarian.
Well, horse isn't meat, so.
Pretty sure you just said horse meat.
Well, you know, but, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to St. Lucia soon. Oh, I'm going in 4 weeks.
Which yacht are you taking?
We're taking the Arabian Princess.
Ah, fair enough. Fair enough. Good yacht.
It is a good yacht. Yeah. Roman Abramovich himself sort of was like, nah, you can have this one for free, mate.
Oh, did he? Oh,
yeah, right, okay. Sound about it.
Ooh, I'm so poor. Yeah. I bet other Sparkies go to St. Lucia, are they?
They do, actually, yeah.
Oh, right, oh.
It is the best paid trade.
Oh, is it?
Just saying.
So, but do they go to St. Lucia or do they go to Magaluf? That's a question.
It depends on the age.
No discrimination.
No. I guarantee none of them have been to Hawaii, though.
Well,
Daddy sure. has, though, hasn't he?
Sure. Oh,
Daddy's,
God.
Daddy's been twice.
Daddy's what? Been twice, what? ooh, sub-middle class. Where should we holiday this year, darling?
I tell you what, though. Since becoming an electrician, I do consider myself now top of the pack of trades. I look at other trades that come into what I think of as my building, and I think, oh, you poor bastards. Unable to understand what the brown cable does.
Earthing, yeah?
Oh, definitely.
So...
Yeah, 100%.
Don't
know it. It does whatever you want. It's just a colour. So, stop labelling it, yeah? So. Non-binary.
Yeah. So, did you actually watch the... it's an old one. It's an oldie but goldie. The Jordan Peterson interview with Kathy Newman.
No.
From Channel 4. Oh, brilliant. Good to know that you're prepared for this podcast.
I've been busy today.
What have you been doing?
I've been installing lights and extractor fans for my parents.
Why does that take you... Let's say you woke up at 7. Why does that take you 15 hours?
Well, I started working at 10.
Right.
And once I'd finished my job and wired...
At 12?
Yes, I'd finished wiring it at... Well, actually, about 1. I finished wiring and moving lights and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I then came back to my house where my parents were and we put some skirting up. which actually takes a bit longer because the cuts and stuff around all the angles down the, you know, down the west wing are quite long. So.
Oh, of course, of course, you've got a wing. Yeah. So.
Tell me about this interview.
So basically, it's an interview which is now notorious. I'm surprised you didn't see it, but. You probably don't watch intellectual stuff, so.
Mate, I've been watching The Planets.
Okay. Big Bang Theory is not watching The Planets, mate.
Shout out to Big Bang.
It's an interview where, for about 15 minutes, Jordan Peterson's attacked for not, falsely attacked, for thinking of. Falsely accused of believing that, first of all, gender equality is not required, is not a thing, and that we should be like lobsters.
What do you mean we should be like lobsters?
Well, so...
Benthic.
Hierarchy. Social construct or genetic? Or natural?
Natural.
Right. So he said... It is genetically imprinted into the lobster to have a hierarchy. Given that the humans and lobster are fairly similar in genetic makeup, apart from, say, 5% of their genetics.
Okay.
We have the same... So, they operate on serotonin.
Okay.
Which is...
A brain releasing the chemical.
Which controls...
A chemical releasing the brain. I'm tired.
A chemical releasing the brain. I don't think so. A brain releasing chemical. I think you meant. You were right the first time. But basically he says, look, we as humans are controlled by serotonin, amongst other things.
Okay.
As are lobsters.
Oh, well, as part of the reward system in the brain?
Exactly. But serotonin also controls things like...
Sleep.
Exactly, but also hierarchy.
Okay, I didn't know it controlled hierarchy. I knew it controlled sleep.
Well, it controls things like pack mentality, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, fine.
And he said, in fact, we are so close to lobsters in terms of our genetic makeup that antidepressants work on lobsters as well.
Okay.
Well, they affect them, or they affect the serotonin levels. So anyway... She was saying, so we should be like lobsters. I said, no. What I was saying is that everyone poo-poos hierarchy as a thing, as a socially constructed model, but right. Actually it's natural.
Yeah.
And who are we to say that we are better than nature when actually we are all nature?
Yeah, I agree.
Genetically, we are predisposed to form groups, and those groups have hierarchies.
Of course.
Even the Soviet Union, even in communist times, there's a hierarchy. Look at China, there's a hierarchy. Family, if you want to go closer and closer to home, there's a hierarchy in a family.
Yeah.
There's always the decision makers, there's always the not the subcontractors, but you know, the subjects, and there's always the decision makers.
Yeah. And the grafters.
Sure. The ants.
Yeah.
But the other thing that he said, so...
Sorry.
That's all right. He was talking about... So they were discussing gender equality. And off the bat, she was saying stuff like, you've come under controversy because you're famous for saying that gender pay gap is not a thing. And he said, no. I said that there's a reason why gender pay gap exists... And it's not just due to sex. It's also due to other factors which affect your performance as a worker and therefore your promotion, etc., etc. So she quotes things like, there's only 7 women in the top FTSE 100 companies.
Mm-hmm.
How is that fair? That's a question to you.
Okay.
How do you think that's fair?
Well, I don't really know how you're factoring fairness. I don't necessarily know whether job opportunities should be fair.
Sure.
But who gets it isn't down to fairness. It's about what's appropriate, who's best.
Exactly. And also, he says a lot of it comes down to agreeableness, and women are more agreeable than men.
Right.
So men will push to get promoted, to get higher salaries, and therefore they get rewarded for it.
Okay.
Women are less likely to push and therefore less likely to get promoted and get higher salaries. And also, let's not forget that women take on fewer well-paid jobs than guys do.
Okay.
So, for example, if you go to an office and you look at the pool of administrators,
mm-hmm.
I would say a very high proportion of them are going to be women.
I would agree.
So, but there's also, but her point was, yeah, but there are plenty of women at the top. And I said, yes, but they're not agreeable. They got there through graft. They got there through fighting for salaries, fighting for promotions. And that's what men do as well.
Yeah.
He says,
predominantly.
Look, discrimination exists. It's not like he's saying that it doesn't exist at all.
Mm.
But it's not a huge, it's not such a huge part of the gender pay gap as people like to think it is.
Yeah.
So, for example, things like, you know, just doing your job doesn't give you a higher salary.
Mm. No, of course it doesn't.
If you
just plateau and then you just keep consistent with the same things, why would you expect more money for it?
Exactly. So I agree with him in the sense that I think gender inequality in the workplace exists, and I don't think it's just a gender issue. I think there are multitudes of issues. And I do think that, you know, some women are discriminated against, which is not good. I think there should be complete equality of opportunity.
Mm.
It shouldn't be down to, oh, Greg has got a penis, therefore he's going to get promoted.
Yeah.
It should be that Greg has a penis and he's good at his job.
Or he's good at his job because he has a penis.
Exactly. Obviously, he's got good at his job because he dangles. So
his dick is big.
Big ass dick.
Coming in like a wrecking ball.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, because we discussed this quite a number of times. Do you, for example, in your field, right?
Yes.
You're an electrician.
Yes.
How many women are electricians in your field?
On my site?
Yeah.
None.
Right. So
there are zero female electricians. As far as I'm aware, I haven't seen one.
Apart from Chris's mum, obviously.
Apart from Chris's mum. But, you know, she's not on my site, so.
Mate, none. Can you not make out with your girlfriend whilst we're doing the podcast?
I can't help it, the dog's climbed up on me.
Yeah, don't call her that. We talked about it.
But, we've discussed it before, and it's shocking that, and that's not an electrical pun, by the way.
it is.
That there are no women in these various trades. It is odd, but I just genuinely don't think it really attracts them. What's the ratio in your company?
Well,
in your line of work, because you're
I'm a consultant,
surveyor, aren't you? A consultant.
I'm a consultant for the funds in the construction industry. So traditionally, the number of females is very low.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because
it's not a hands-on job, is it?
I think females are generally interested in different things to guys, more often than not. Look, I know more women lawyers than I know male lawyers.
Right.
I've worked and I'm working with more female lawyers than male lawyers.
Yeah.
But I don't see anyone saying, oh, no, 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 no. We can't have that.
Do you find that the female lawyers are better at their job than the male lawyers?
Some.
Or is it just it's just an evenly spread random thing?
I think so. I don't think being a man or a woman gives an advantage to being a lawyer.
No. Well, I just wondered because it seems to me that I think on average men and women are going to be pretty straight down the middle. Do you know what I mean? For whatever job they're doing, no one's going to be better necessarily or worse.
Well, interestingly, you're right in the sense that it all depends on the person.
Yeah.
Just because you're a guy doesn't mean you're automatically good at law and vice versa. Mm. What I've read recently is that if you take IQ of both sexes, there's actual very little separation between the two. They're almost identical. Now, the distribution, however, is shorter between women. So there's more women with higher IQ than men.
Mm.
Men spread much more than women. But the average man and the average woman will have more or less the same...
Oh, that's you.
Will have more or less the same IQ.
Say that again, mate.
Well, the average man and the average woman will have more or less the same IQ.
Right.
So, it's kind of... If there's no difference in terms of intelligence, it's got to be down to personality, perseverance, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah. So it's an individual thing, isn't it? You can't just tar everyone with the same brush.
No, exactly. I mean, look, are people complaining that girls are getting higher marks in education than guys?
No.
Right, why is that? You don't see male groups, in quotes.
I guess it's because...
Saying, you should mark girls harsher.
Yeah. I guess
that's ridiculous.
It's a similar argument to, like, you don't see, like... Well, predominantly, you don't see white man lobbyists saying white men should be given more job opportunities.
Exactly. I kind of think... I was being slightly facetious there, because obviously you can't help being smart.
No.
There's no discrimination against that, but...
I think there's plenty of discrimination, but it's... You can't control how intelligent you are.
No, and girls on average mature faster, they're more studious, they're more emotionally intelligent, so they understand the need for better education because their parents... they're more sympathetic to the parents' needs and wants and, you know, support.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's not, you're not judged just by how intelligent you are, unless you're like a savant.
Yeah.
I think it's more about personality. I think it's more about leadership. I think it's more about... And not to say that girls don't have those qualities. I think they do. But just like guys, I don't think all of them do.
No. Well, you know, we're very different. Everyone is different. Obviously, there are a lot of people, so some people are going to have similarities. But you can't just whitewash everyone. Do you know what I mean? You can't just assume that people are all going to be the same or achieve the same standard, because it's never going to happen. Everyone's different, and everything is different about everyone.
But also, what she failed to address is that, yes, there are only 7 women who are CEOs of FTSE 100 companies, but not every guy is a CEO.
No.
There are guys who also feel frustrated.
Of course.
About not being promoted or not being paid enough. Granted, there are probably more women. And I think things like our philosophy on motherhood and how that affects progress in the company, that also affects women's progressing to the top.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of that is actually because the market moves. If you take 5 years out of a job, can you expect to come back and be in the same position? Yeah. I don't, or have the same benefits? I don't know.
There are a lot of variables, and it depends on the job. It depends on the person.
I think so. I'm all for equality. I think if Lucy is doing the same stellar job as Jack is, there's no reason as to why Lucy shouldn't get paid more, unless Lucy doesn't challenge the fact that she's getting paid less.
Yeah.
If, look, put it this way, if I knew that we were, say we were working together and we're doing exactly the same job and we're posting exactly the same number of profit and revenue and whatever, but I know that you're getting paid more, I'd march into my boss's office and say, dude, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And companies will always look for profit, so they'll always try and screw you on pay.
Oh, yeah. They always try and fuck the little guy over.
So
first port of call.
But it's up to you then to go and fight for that salary. You know, I'd love to have a world where we're automatically paid exactly the same if we're doing exactly the same job and we get promoted in exactly the same to exactly the same position.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if Lucy and I are having are doing as well as each other, I'll be the one going to my boss and saying, dude, I want more money.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck about Lucy, really.
But equally, you couldn't give a fuck if she was on the same money as you, if she was pulling just as much weight as you.
No. Because it's fair. It's fair.
Of course. But, well, your advice to her, if she found out that you were being paid more than her, would be, well, go and fight your corner.
Well, no, but we're also competitors. I'm not going to tell her to go and fight her corner.
I would.
Well, I mean,
you're not really a competitor just because...
Well, you know, no, but you are competing for limited number of directorships, partnerships, etc.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like, just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you should be able to get a fast track to whatever. Similarly, just because you're a man.
Yeah.
There's a competition in the workplace. The pyramid gets much tighter the higher up you go.
Mm.
So you have to compete with other people.
Do you see yourself getting to the top?
I would rather have my own business than get to the top of one. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out.
What, as a surveyor, your own surveying company?
Well, whatever it may be. Podcasting. So...
Well, you need to put some money into it, boy.
No, I don't.
We do.
Well, yeah, we do. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think guys who discriminate against women are shitheads in the workplace and in life.
Yeah.
But I think just giving a reward to someone because she's a woman or a man is an equally stupid thing.
Yeah. So what I would like to know for employers, if you have someone who doesn't associate as a man or a woman, how do you possibly discriminate how much you should pay them?
But then you discriminate on the basis of them not identifying as either.
So what would you pay them? More or less or equal?
Whatever they fight for.
Well, do you... Do you look at them subjectively or objectively and say, head, you're a man or you're a woman?
I think you can't get rid of the subjective analysis, right? There must be correlation between someone that you like and their pay and progress within the company. So not to say that someone wouldn't like him, but you might not get on with someone who's straight, non-binary, gay, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. Bonding and, you know, and being a nice, not nice, but being someone that you can talk to outside of work as well as inside of work.
Whilst we're on the subject of you know, gender orientation, let's have a I'd like to know what you think about employers being encouraged, or possibly coerced or forced into having to hire homosexuals and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like almost like they have to, you know, it's the equal opportunities thing. Do you think that a gay person or a non-binary person should get a job over someone who's heterosexual?
Well, no, because that's positive discrimination.
But it does happen.
I'm sure it does. I think, look, it's a bit like this, right? People say, why aren't there more gay people in construction industry? Are they being scared away? It's like, well, okay, take a cross-section of the population. How many people are gay versus how many people are straight?
I don't know.
You're always going to have more people that are straight than they are gay, right?
That would be the natural assumption, yes.
Therefore, proportionally, I mean, if you have a company with no gay people, they're probably closeted, but with no gay people who are out, you probably are discriminating against those people.
Yeah.
You know, if we take a company that's big enough, if you have a company of three and none of them are gay, well, that's, you know.
What is the statistic? Is it 1 in 5?
Sort of like 1 in 7, 1 in 10. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's like a friend of mine said, oh, I don't want to move to Oxfordshire because it's 90% white. And it's like, but dude, the country is 90% white.
Yeah.
Why would you expect Oxfordshire to be different?
Mm.
Because you live in London, you're around different cultures, different colours, different communities, but that's not normal.
It's one of the most multicultural cities in the world.
But it's not normal either.
It's not
the usual country.
No.
You know, you go to Germany, it's predominantly white. You go to France, it's predominantly white. But that's not to say that. But then if you go to Nigeria, yeah, it's predominantly black.
Yeah. Oh, that's a problem. Get more white people in.
Exactly. Like,
balance the books.
Surely discrimination is relative to the country that you're in. Racial discrimination, I mean.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you go to Kazakhstan, and if I go to Kazakhstan, I'll probably get a job ahead of you. Mostly because of my good looks, but yeah.
I thought you were going to say family connections.
But, you know, it's I appreciate what he's saying, which is he doesn't discriminate and he wants more variety and... But you can't have it unless you're in London.
What? I don't understand the need for variety. I'm not sure if I understand that statement. Do you feel... you're an ethnic minority. Do you feel a need for variation? Or are you happy to go into an office full of 50 white guys?
I don't care.
I know you don't.
But that,
and that's the, but that's the genius thing about you, is that you literally don't care.
I don't see myself as a victim, because I never really have been. But I don't place myself as a victim either.
How do you think you would react if you were the victim of a racial assault?
I mean,
we're playing devil's advocate here, so...
Racial assault is one thing. I mean, that's happened before, but fine, you know.
I did say sorry for that.
Well, you said it just now. But say I was racially discriminated.
It wasn't me, by the way, guys.
I'd just move companies.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you'd be stubborn. I think you'd be more stubborn than that.
Well... No, because if someone is racially discriminating against me, then there's, apart from getting them fired, say it's my superior, there is nothing that I can do. They're not looking at me objectively, so they're not saying, well, he's Asian, but he is putting up a lot of numbers, and that's what we need.
That's what they're good at.
Exactly, numbers. Whereas what he's saying is, I don't care what his numbers are, I don't like his people, which is like 50 other nations, but whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, for me, it's if someone is discriminating against me, I'll just leave and get another job. It's not difficult.
For you?
Well, for anyone.
It was difficult for some people.
Well, yeah. But then you have to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
I think you should write a book.
I think we are. but, you know, it's like, for me, it was never an issue. When I was at school, it wasn't an issue. Unless for me, it's never an issue unless someone has an issue with me because of my race.
Have you had people have an issue with you because of your race?
No. Not an issue, not to a point where I felt like I was, you know, if someone racially abuses you and wants to fight you because you are, because he thinks you know karate, that's a different thing to like someone not hanging out with you because you're Asian.
Yeah.
I never had that.
No.
I do. See, my, I look at other Asian guys in
homosexual ways.
Just in society. And we had this at school and I've seen this at university. None of them ever try to welcome the culture that they're in. So the Chinese kids always hang out with the Chinese kids.
Yeah.
Predominantly. There's always some outliers who will, you know, embrace the culture around them and do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with dating.
Okay.
I think...
So what, you think that Asian guys aren't terribly attracted to white women?
I think the other way around.
Oh, so white women aren't attracted to Asian guys?
Yeah.
And is that a personal preference or is that the...
I don't know what it is.
Discrimination that comes with it.
I don't think it is. Well, I don't know what it is. But it's very rare that you see an Asian guy and a girl of any other colour.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience is with that.
Well, I don't have that many Asian friends.
And it's not cultural. So it's not like in South Asian countries, like India, Pakistan, etc., Bangladesh. Culturally, they prefer to date people that are from their culture.
Yeah.
So no, you very rarely see Indian guys or girls with girls of any other colour.
Well, a lot of the time they're arranged marriages and stuff, aren't they?
No, I mean, you know, not in the UK.
No, not in the UK.
But I mean, you know, British-born Indians, example,
sure,
still would prefer to date British-born Indians, other British-born Indians, than explore outside. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine is dating an Indian girl. And he's the first, she's 30-something. He's the first white guy she's ever dated. And when he went to their house, he got the cold shoulder from the parents. Because he's not Indian.
Right.
And here is the really shocking thing. When her sister met him, she said, "I think it's disgusting that you're dating a white guy."
Wow.
Now turn that around.
Yeah.
And that would be massively racist.
Of course.
He took her to his family, and his family said, "I think it's disgusting that you're dating an Indian girl."
Yeah. No, you're right. If you flip that on its head, and it is atrocious.
I mean, it's atrocious.
Eyes of the masses.
Exactly. But it's, for whatever weird reason, people accept it as, oh, but you know, it's their culture. And that's like saying, oh, but my grandpa's racist because that's his generation. It's like, well, no, it's still a shithead. He's just your grandpa. But it's interesting because obviously she has to go against the will of her parents to date him. He's never really going to be fully accepted into the family should they get married. Ironically, her sister got married to an Indian guy, got divorced 9 months later.
Wow.
So just because you come from the same culture doesn't mean that it's all going to be flowers and champagne.
Yeah.
It really depends on the people.
Yeah, of course. It's all down to the individuals. You can't expect it to work just because your skin tone's the same or you're from a similar village or whatever. I don't think culture has anything to do with it.
When he told me this, I was like, dude, that is fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Someone telling you that you are disgusting because of your race. And I've never heard that before. I mean, obviously, it must be said in cultures, in communities that live in the UK, be them East Asian, South Asian, Middle Eastern, whatever.
Mm.
And I'm sure it exists vice versa. You know, there's some white families that would never accept their children dating someone outside of their culture or their nationality.
Mm.
But it's the first time that I've heard it said out loud. And obviously the guy feels, I mean, how you'd expect. He's A, horrified, and B, quite distraught. Because it's like, well, so basically what you're saying is, I'm never going to be accepted to your family. Yeah. So either you defy your family to marry me, or we break up.
Yeah, and potentially alienate yourself from
exactly,
your family.
Exactly. It's a really, really fucked up situation.
Yeah.
I was horrified when I heard that.
Well, it is horrifying.
I was really horrified.
Yeah. I feel sorry for him. But at the same time, you know, fair play to her. Because, you know, she obviously sees something in this guy and it's a big thing for her to do.
No, absolutely.
So in the eyes of the racist overtones from the family, at least you can see that racism isn't inherent.
No, exactly. And I think it's just sad that it got to a point where they think that that's the right thing to do and say. And, you know, the damning thing is they said to her, well, you know, it's your life. You have to make your own mistakes.
Mm.
It's like, well, so you're assuming that he's a mistake?
Yeah.
I bet you assumed that your other daughter married an absolute winner.
Yeah.
And he was a shitbag, so he divorced her.
Yeah.
Or they got divorced after 9 months. Like, come on, guys. It's such a narrow view, but this is coming back to my point. I think it's very rare to see girls of any other of girls dating Asian guys. It's very rare, actually.
Yeah, you're the only Asian guy that I know who has a white girlfriend.
But how many Asian guys do you know?
Just you.
So, sample of one, 100%. It's not that rare, mate.
Well, you are pretty rare.
But even if you look at, so take it back, a long way back. Bruce Lee, when he first went to America, obviously he had a white American wife, and her parents didn't accept it for a long while.
What, until he got famous?
No. I don't think they ever accepted him.
Really?
Yeah. You know, that one of their things was, well, what's your child going to look like? How is he going to be accepted in society?
What is your child going to look like? Why is that a problem?
Well, for some people it is. I mean, it's a really interesting... I never thought about this, but I heard there's a comedian called Bobby Lee, and he's got a smoking girlfriend.
Mm.
And he's of Korean descent. And he was saying, you know, you don't get many white girls dating Asian guys. Like, Asian as in my kind of Asian.
Yeah.
But it's really, you know, same as, like, very rarely do you see a white guy dating Asian, like, Indian girls.
Mm.
But that's mostly not because they don't want to. It's mostly, I think, from the girl side because of the cultural preferences that we talked about. Would you ever Go Dating tropical.
Asian guy.
Go tropical.
Yeah.
Go off the beaten path.
Have you? I don't know. I haven't. But so, it doesn't mean that I'm not attracted to them or find them attractive.
Or discriminate against them.
Or discriminate against them, which I do frequently in my KKK meetings that I head up.
the mate, Devon chapter.
I don't give a fuck about what colour a girl is. If she's hot, she's hot. Or if she has a great personality, she has a great personality. Do you know what I mean? If they're interesting or whatever, why not? And I know that if I was to bring a girl who wasn't white home, my parents wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't matter. Definitely, 100%.
What if you brought a non-white guy?
Well, you know, fuck it. When are you coming over?
Yeah. I just... Because I've had this a bit from my grandparents who were like, oh, yeah.
Well, the white ones or the Asian ones?
The Asian ones.
Right.
They were like, oh, yeah, but...
So you're kneeling down at the table in your kimonos.
during the tea ceremony. Because we're Japanese, obviously. And they were like, you know, but she's Russian.
Dimitri-san, why are you not drinking your tea?
Wow. Your brown tea. Do you get it? Yeah, they had a bit of an issue by the fact that Olya was Russian and white.
Really?
Given that they live amongst Russians, amongst white people.
I was going to say, what's the issue with her being Russian?
Well, they see, I think every culture is worried that if you mix cultures, the dominant culture, which is the white culture, will dilute the minority culture.
Dilute.
But that's
like we're too much water.
That's a real fear.
Is it?
That's a real fear.
Fuck me.
So, you know, you have a lot of Arabic girls who... whose parents are worried that if they date an English atheist, Christian, whatever the case may be, that they will walk away from religion.
Or from
their culture. Or adopt your swine ways.
So are Olya's parents scared that she's going to adopt your ways?
Give a fuck.
I know you don't give a fuck. But I mean, are they scared? You know, are they saying, look, your rice intake is too high?
You don't pronounce your L's.
What? You're driving so badly. Why are you going to dog meat festivals? What?
Because it's healthy and sterile, so.
Yeah.
I don't think they
are. And
it's
the only meat that you don't actually have to catch because you just squeak a ball and it comes right to you.
I think, ironically, white families are more welcoming of other cultures and other nations than...
you know why that is, don't you?
Alternative colours.
You know why that is. It's the guilt.
It's the guilt.
It's the guilt of being white. Okay. Oh, we've had it better than you. Come on in.
Oh, it's nice to have some variety so we can say to our friends that we're not racist.
Yeah, see?
Are you bringing your Asian boyfriend? Is he going to come in a kimono? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, God. Why don't you dress as a concubine, darling? Make him feel welcome.
put on that white mask. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's guilt, mate. It's guilt, 100%.
Well, I was going to say, like, I've never dated an Asian girl. Don't find them attractive. So, I don't know why.
Because you have mummy issues. Go on.
It's just prejudice, mate. But every white family that I met through my girlfriends, they were all very welcoming. I mean, sure, notice, they found it weird.
Notice, ladies and gentlemen, how he said girlfriends in the plural.
I had more than one. I'm 33 years old, nearly. So
nearly.
I'm assuming I had more than one. Although some people haven't. So go me.
Go you, you white pillaging Asian.
Although I do remember my first girlfriend, so she was having, her parents were having a dinner party.
Oh.
And I came.
There goes the neighbourhood.
Sure. And I came over. Literally the whitest dinner party I've ever been to. But then it was Oxfordshire, so chances are I was probably going to happen.
Yeah. But you were watching Morse.
I kind of, so yes, I was coming out with champagne, obviously, just to pour some more to some.
And someone thought you were working.
Sure. Some women that you know, I saw some glasses empty, so I took them. I took the champagne out of the kitchen and wanted to pour some, to fill up their glasses. And as it was coming to them,
one of them. Can I just ask, how old were you?
I was about 16.
Okay.
And as I was coming to them, one of the parents' friends, so the friends of the parents, was talking to the mum. And I think the conversation went something like, oh, well, he's different, isn't he? And the mum was like, yes, and you should, yes, he is.
Yes. It may not look like it, but I am looking at you right now.
His eyes are slightly thinner. But that was just, and I sort of, obviously I was coming, so they were standing back to me. I was approaching them, I heard this and I sort of gone around and filled up their glasses and walked away. But it was just.
Work the room.
Sure, we'll work the room. But it was interesting how it was just, like I was the talk of the party because suddenly, ooh, your daughter's going out with a non-white guy.
Oh.
That's exotic, isn't it?
That's exotic, yes.
Is it? There's a billion of us, so it's not that exotic.
If anything, I'm the one dabbling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one sampling the exotic meat. Oh, yeah. That's disgusting. So.
Yes, it is. But it's also true. So... Yeah, that's weird, man. It must have been a weird thing for you to go through, though, at 16.
But also, I'm not a very traditional guy. So, by that, I mean, I wouldn't hanker, I wouldn't say that I only eat Asian food. That's not a thing for me. I don't just watch, I've never watched an Asian soap opera.
I don't even know what Asian soap opera.
Oh, like Korean soaps are apparently all the rage in Asia.
What, across Asia?
Oh, yeah. K-pop.
Really?
K-pop is huge in Asia. BTS, which is a Korean pop band, sold out Wembley Stadium two nights in a row.
Wow.
67,000 people. They set a record for the most number of... tickets sold.
Asians in a room. Oh.
Yeah, sure. No, but interestingly, because they were in the UK, most of the fans that attended, 67,000 of them, I would say 90% were white.
What?
What they fucking understand in those songs, because they sing in Korean.
Yeah.
Mostly. I do not know. I know. I don't get this phenomenon.
Does it appeal to you?
Not at all.
Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, I don't understand them. So why the hell would I care? For me,
you listen to a lot of French rap.
Yeah, but I understand it. So
you understand some of it, like I do.
Well, not all of it. No, but the thing is, though. So, for example, I listen to there's a French band called I Am. Very old now, probably not doing any music anymore. But their old stuff was really good, and I used to like the beat. So that's what attracts me. And then, because I was studying French, I found it interesting, so I looked at the lyrics and I could actually understand what they were saying.
Mm.
Maybe not in the song format.
You got the gist of it.
But once I read the words, I could then understand what they're saying and I could, you know, I could actually...
Then you could start differentiating words.
Exactly, exactly. If I'm reading Korean, I would not know where to start.
No.
It looks Chinese to me.
Yep.
So... So I would, but that's to me, right? I do not know what these people I mean, kudos to them. Fair enough. I'm not judging them, but I just do wonder what they get out of it, because it's just gibberish to me.
Well, me and my partner, we have a friend who has a daughter, and she is besotted with
Julio Iglesias.
No. I'm trying to, is it anime, like Japanese cartoon?
Oh yeah.
Obsessed. And so watches Japanese anime films.
But they're translated into English, aren't they? Or dubbed?
They are translated into English, but it's still an infatuation with an Asian culture.
But also, anime cartoons very rarely depict Asians accurately.
Massive eyes, for example.
Yeah, that's one that's very rare in Asians. Extremely rare.
Mm.
Non-existent. I would say.
Yes.
They also have weird hair, big boobs.
Yeah.
All women have big boobs for some reason.
Yeah. Pointy noses.
With small, which like doesn't arrows. Happen.
And they don't actually, I don't think they depict the skin colour very well.
No. They're all like blue, bluish, yeah, white.
Yeah.
But that, you can kind of understand that, because A, it's dubbed, and B, you can follow the storyline even if you don't understand it, right? Because it's visual. But
yeah, for sure. But it's still immersive, isn't it? Because it's very different from
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say white cartoons, but I didn't really want to go that far. But you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like Western cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've watched two anime films and I don't like them.
Ghost in the Shell?
I haven't seen that.
Apparently it's very... Again, never interested.
Well, you've never been interested in it?
Yeah, just never had the hankering to sit down and watch.
Do you think that that's because of your upbringing? Because your dad's white, isn't he?
Yeah.
So your dad's
white. But he's my stepdad, so...
Okay. Oh, so genetically you're full Asian?
Yeah. Flavor, okay, fine. We call it.
Okay, fine. But you still had the integration of a white family, or, you know, white family members.
Well, I grew up in a predominantly white
neighborhood
culture because of the Soviet Union. So throughout my life, yes, I had Asian friends, or Kazakh friends, which are Central Asian.
Mm.
But predominantly, they've been white.
Yeah.
And that's not through discrimination. It's not like I discriminate against Asians. I wouldn't talk to them. But a lot of the time, they don't want to talk to me.
I think the most Asian thing about you, in terms of...
The eyes. Go on.
Penis. What?
Sure.
You like basketball. That's literally the only Asian thing about you, because a lot of Asians like basketball, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not very good at it though. So
you are good, to be fair.
Thank you very much.
I remember playing you at university, because we both went. We're clever.
What? Sure. I mean, if that's stereotypically Asian.
Well, it's not necessarily stereotypically, but I mean, I went to school with a lot of Asians because we had like student exchange and whatnot. So we had a lot of kids from like Hong Kong and Japan. We had a few from Taiwan, and mostly the ones from Hong Kong loved basketball.
They love Kobe Bryant, or at least they did.
They fucking loved basketball, mate. We were like, do you want to come play football? No, we're going to go to the gym and play basketball. Like, fuck that. But we used to hang out, like, it's like you said, so all the Asians used to hang out together. And even then, they would partition themselves off, so whichever country they were from or whatever,
oh yeah,
they would all hang out.
Ridiculously nationalistic.
They hated... There was a Taiwanese guy and a Malaysian, and they fucking hated each other. Yeah,
they're severely nationalistic.
One tried to gouge the other one's eye out.
Yeah, that's not rare, unfortunately. I mean...
The Hong Kong guys, super chilled.
My younger half sister, she's Kazakh born, but studies in South Korea. So
Is
she
she the one
loves
who's
that K-pop and all that kind of shit.
really?
And so she went to South Korea, her dream, blah, blah. She got in. None of the South Koreans talked to her.
Really?
Even though she looks Asian, and we've got Korean ancestry, so I'm assuming that they can recognize that she's got Korean ancestry, but because she's not South Korean born, they don't even consider her, they don't talk to her.
It's like the mafia can't get in unless
They're
you're Sicilian.
very nationalistic, very nationalistic.
That's very weird.
So things like, it's kind of the same as I was describing about South Asian families, that if you marry a white guy or girl, whichever, your family's deeply disappointed because they think their lineage ends, because obviously she takes on the guy's surname.
Right.
At least they do in countries which are not so left, so fucking independent. They feel that their lineage stops with her.
Right.
Well, stops with them, actually, because obviously she's no longer part of their family.
Yeah.
And so it's very, the Asians are just as racist, if not more, than the Western world.
Well, I don't think anyone is more or less racist. I just think racism exists and it has varying degrees.
But in terms of acceptance, they are predominantly non-accepting of other cultures in their family. So things like you were saying your family would, I would say, let's say 50% of the families in the UK, white families in the UK, would accept and welcome a spouse of their children who is not white.
Yeah, with open arms, we'd show them the white life.
I think that percentage of acceptance in Asian countries is very low, v extremely low,
5%?
maybe less.
Wow. How do your family feel about having you dating a white girl?
Well, given that my mum married a white guy, they don't care. My mum and dad, they don't care at all. My dad, because my dad's white.
Yeah, white power.
Exactly, white is right. My grandparents, I basically said to them, look, why do you care if you're not living my life? Why do you care what color my spouse is? Their thing was, it's about culture. And I said, okay, well, let's take a look. What culturally have I not done since going out with her? What's changed?
You've stopped doing calligraphy.
You stopped wearing your kimono.
You won't sit down at the origami
You're
table.
bleaching your skin. But they then got to terms with the fact that, A, I grew up in a predominantly Western world, which is predominantly white, and B, I have absolutely zero interest in Asian girls. So it was so sweet and funny and slightly racist. So when I was going out,
Those three words have never been said in conjunction with each other, I'm just saying.
so I'm going out with Olya now for about 5.5 years,
I still
and
haven't met her.
well, not important enough. And
She'll fall for me straight away.
about 2 years ago, my grandparents were like, "Oh, we found this really nice girl for you who's from Kazakhstan. You should
That's
meet."
nice.
And I was
Why?
like, "Okay, I mean,
Right.
that's weird because
So you met her.
I have a girlfriend, ha met her, and we're now married." But that's not the point. No, but I was just like, "Well, hold on a sec. First of all, why are you selecting brides for me? And secondly, I have a girlfriend. You have met her. What the fuck is, what's going on?" Well, you
Do
never
you
know.
want me to come to your funeral?
Ooh. Harsh. Ooh, that got dark there. Yeah, so it happens. It happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. Like, they had so my cousin got married. He's expecting they're expecting a baby. And right. Because she was the wrong Asian.
The wrong
they
Asian.
They had a problem with it.
Would you like to describe what this wrong Asian is?
Well, she's Kazakh.
And what's the other nationality?
Well, he's Kazakh-born Korean.
Kazakh-born Korean going out with a Kazakh.
Yeah.
Right. So one assumes that the Koreans live in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
What the fuck was the choice that was left to them then, apart from to meet a Kazakh woman?
Are the Korean girls who were born in Kazakhstan.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Yes. His parents couldn't give a fuck. The grandparents kicked up a massive stink.
Oh, man.
Massive stink.
I'd have been like, look, for every day that you harbour a grudge, your funeral's getting worse and worse. Soon, you're just going to be catapulted into the ocean.
Well, then you get a smack. But but it is, I found it, I was like, guys, what the fuck? Seriously?
That's crazy. That's seriously? Crazy. I'd be like, Nan, who the fuck do you expect me to meet? We live in Kazakhstan. Go and find a Korean-born woman. Oh, all right then, because I'm sure they're abundant.
In another country.
Yeah. I met the one girl who was from who was Korean-born. Sorry, Kazakh-born Korean. Yeah, I didn't like her.
She was great.
Just ridiculous.
Oh, mate, it's completely ridiculous. But, you know, as I said, it's sweet, kind of racist.
It's like saying, it's like me bringing home, I won't say German, because my parents would applaud that.
Hello. Right,
what was that, Mr. Bean?
Hello.
Hello, Tom, you are fulfilling your destiny.
why are you growing that moustache?
Yeah. Oh, why are you shaving it at the sides?
Only at the sides. Talking of Hitler.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, can you imagine, so in my household, can you imagine, let's say that I bring a Russian girl home.
Yes, Natasha.
Yeah, I bring Natasha home, mail-ordered bride, because, you know.
Hello.
But can you imagine my parents, oh, that's the, you know.
That's the wrong type of white.
That's the wrong type of white. So, that's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fucked up.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, that's what it is. And, you know, it's kind of, but you see a lot of, people submit to that pressure and then get divorced because they're not happy.
Yeah.
Weird that. Weird that divorce is high.
Yeah,
in those kind of situations. Oh, but
no, I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
But grandma, I don't like Asian girls. Well, that's what you gotta do. Well, that is what I gotta do. Oh wait, yeah. I'm unhappy for the rest of my life. Brilliant.
Hooray.
Oh look, we have kids. Still unhappy.
Yeah, the kids know that mummy and daddy hate each other.
Yay.
So,
well, mummy might not, but daddy. Or if it was the other way around. Yeah, could be.
What were you going to say before I rudely interrupt you?
Well, I was just going to say exactly the same as you started, which is, it's just like if you brought a Swedish girl home, there's a too white, mate.
Yeah, too white. White. Why is she blonde?
Also, they invaded us 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So can't have that.
So you still owe us reparations.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, something I've read interesting recently.
Go on.
There's a lot of anthropologists and scientists who think that apes are entering the Stone Age.
Okay.
So there's a famous picture, which you can Google now if you want, of an orangutan fishing with a stick.
Okay.
So they're doing that not because of evolution, but because they're mimicking humans. They saw that humans are doing it. And they have now started, some orangutans have started to fish with a stick.
Okay. Orangutan goes fishing with a stick.
So they're starting to use rudimentary tools.
Well, you know, you could argue that they're already doing that because the chimpanzees do that with termite nests.
Yeah. With sticks, and they break nuts with stones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, evolution.
There's actually a monkey. What's the monkey? Hang on a sec.
Homo sapien?
No.
It's ape!
It's a capuchin. A white-faced capuchin monkey in Panama uses a very specific method of using these tools. So it's got its own...
drones?
Hammering. Yeah. They've built drones and all sorts, mate. They're invading now. They're here. All hail the white capuchins.
Obviously white.
Yep. White-faced. They're in white face, mate. They're racist as the day is long. They're black, but they're coming in white face. Oh, man.
So they're using tools.
Yeah. So they have, like, their favoured rock. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice flat. They've chosen a big, flat level rock, and they put their seeds on there, and they bring over their favourite hitting stone. And they've been doing it for so long that they've made depressions in all these rocks where they like to sit the seed and smash it. So it shows that they've entered the Stone Age, they're aware. And there are some birds, you know, like crows and ravens. They understand displacement theory. They can fashion like hooks and stuff out of metal.
To catch food?
Well, not necessarily to catch food, but scientists have given them tests. So for the displacement theory, they're given three beakers, and there's something in each of them. So there's a bit of water, and then they have like a couple of stones, and they want to get whatever's in the water. So they know that they can't physically reach it with their beak, so they drop the stones in to raise the water level to get what they need out.
Wow.
And equally, if there's no stones available, but there's a strip of wire, like a coat hanger sort of, you know,
oh, they'll fashion something out of...
Yeah, they'll fashion a hook and hook it out.
Oh. So there we go, evolution in front of our eyes. Oh, but it's not real. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's why the orangutan's fishing.
Yeah,
exactly. Literally fishing.
Could you consider that as observed evolution?
Yeah, well, it's happening in front of our eyes.
No, I meant from the point of view of the orangutan.
Oh.
So he's observing us.
Yes, he is.
Because it's going to be useless if that animal can't transcribe that to his young.
Exactly. He's adopting our processes and systems for their gain.
He'll be driving a Tesla tomorrow.
But this is an interesting thing. Joe Rogan and Bob Lazar had a podcast. Bob Lazar's a massive ufologist.
Conspiracy theorist, yeah.
But interesting point that Rogan raised, which is, by creating all this technology, are we not entering the next stage of evolution? Surely the humans are evolving.
Yeah.
Now, naturally, and not... and.
Well, it's passive, isn't it? So it's constantly going.
But it's going to get to a point where we're going to evolve to be one with machines... Like the Neuralink that Elon Musk is working on, which is implanting a chip into your brain so you can be connected to the internet.
Yep. Upload your consciousness.
So that's surely that for humans, that's the next stage of evolution, which is combining and merging with machines to become an android, essentially.
Yeah. Well, a cyborg.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's a valid point.
And then...
Scary.
And then really, the next thing is for us to go and... and visit other planets and set up colonies there and evolve through that.
Mm.
But interesting thing that he said is, or Bob Lazar mentioned, is that if there is life on Earth, there is... almost as equal chance that they're superior to us.
As we are to them.
As we are to them. Because just because we have certain elements in our planet that allowed us to evolve into what we are now,
mm.
doesn't mean that they have the same elements. They may have elements which are not even on our periodic table, but allow them to harness antimatter and matter to create propulsion, massive explosions that create propulsion. So we're not all created equally in that sense.
No.
So they might be 100 years ahead just because of luck due to the elements that they have on their planet.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a really interesting point in that, well, if the aliens, whoever they may be, harness the power of travel, transplanetary travel, or even transgalaxy travel, then surely we would also get there to but maybe not as quickly as they did.
Yeah. Well, we'd have to discover those elements, wouldn't we?
Well, I mean, the next stage is to harness antimatter and matter and combine them together to create massive explosions.
Yeah. Yeah, because one annihilates the other, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As soon as it comes into contact.
It just makes a massive destructive explosion. But it's... I think that whole notion of people say that evolution doesn't exist, but actually we're evolving now. Animals
for sure.
Everything is evolving now.
Yeah.
Cats are evolving. Slugs. Dogs are evolving. Slugs are evolving. It's really interesting because we may not be even conscious to the fact that we are a a vessel for some incredibly complex being. So Rogan, he gives an example of, well, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, but the caterpillar isn't conscious that it's going to become a butterfly. It's just a caterpillar.
Yeah, it's not walking around going, man, can't wait to fly.
Exactly. Or can't wait to die and get this thing to come out of my back and fly away, leaving a corpse.
Yeah. It's the physical embodiment of dying and flying to heaven.
But that maybe is what we are to artificial intelligence. We may be the vessel that creates it,
just and unleashes husk. It.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's quite.
I don't like thinking about it, to be honest.
Why not?
It scares me.
Why?
Because you don't know which way it's going to go. There's no predicting it. There's literally no predicting it.
No, but much like the caterpillar, we don't know what we're creating. We're just doing stuff. Every year we're releasing new shit. We're, you know, the Moore's Law concept. We are creating things which are much better than the last thing.
Yeah.
Every year there's progress. So actually, we may stumble upon at one point where we are completely unnecessary. And granted, a caterpillar does it in, I don't know, day, week.
Well, it takes a bit longer than that.
Well, say a month, a year. Yeah. Maybe in human years, that's 3 millennia, 4 millennia.
Yeah, because time is relative. And it took a long time for insects to perfect that technique.
Oh, exactly. Well, it's not even a technique, is it? It's just
a thing.
Just what happens.
That happened.
But it is evolve. Scary to think that we could just be a vessel to create this massive being, which will then continue to exist as something else. Like we could create artificial intelligence, which then deems us as unnecessary because it can create its own.
Because we're then, a fucking cancer.
And then that artificial intelligence creates something else, and that, you know, and then it evolves further on.
Until it just annihilates life, because life is illogical.
But life is also relevant, because AI could think that it's living in 1,000 years' time, could think of itself as a living being. Surely we create parameters for life, because we
base
it on ourselves.
Humans?
Yeah.
Or we as
living? We as humans. We define what is living. Because we base it on ourselves. But actually a living thing could be something completely, you know, there could be thousands of living things which we are not even aware of.
So there are.
No, in terms of what we would define as living. So we may not even have a definition for it.
Well, I mean, up until recently, we didn't really quantify the plants as... I know that we know that they're living, but to the degree that they live, we didn't know. You know, their ability to communicate and feel send pain. Nutrients and feel pain and understand threat.
Yeah.
It's all there. So maybe it's just a completely different type of consciousness. Maybe, you know, I've got my laptop and my phone on my coffee table right now, which is oak. Maybe this was once, do you know what I mean? Maybe in 1,000 years' time, this would be a grotesque thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because we learned that it's...
It could be the equivalent of having a taxidermied badger as a table.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... I do find it all very interesting, and I find it less scary because I think that there's no way of helping it. I think even if you made a law for people to stop innovation and technological progress, it will still happen.
Yeah.
Illegally or legally.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it would probably accelerate if you had to do it illegally.
Well, exactly, yeah. Because some countries won't stop.
Because, you know, look at Catholicism. That was made illegal. Fucking flourishing now, isn't it?
Not really. There's more atheists in the world now than there ever were.
That was a very poor joke, but I'm glad that you took the life out of it even more.
So, make it better.
How can they reach us, Dimitri?
You know, you can go to Tom's house, which is in...
You don't even fucking know.
In Tonbridge Wells?
Tunbridge Wells. It's not.
No.
Feel free to visit. It's a nice place, apparently.
YoungSpinnersPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Podcast Yarn on Twitter.
Yep. And YoungSpinners1 on Facebook.
And soon to be on YouTube for your premier knitting advice.
Get those pearls.
I think we do need to rename from Yarn Spinners. I think it may confuse a few people. We'll have a lot of grannies.
Yeah.
Going onto our channel thinking, why are they talking about discrimination?
They say cunt an awful lot.
No, that's good. Well, anyway, we're Yarn Spinners and we are going bye-bye.
Peace.
Peace.